Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today our topic is self-control. The British statesman Edmund Burke said, quote, "Men are qualified for civil liberty in exact proportion to their disposition to control their own appetites. Society cannot exist unless a controlling power upon sensuality and appetite be placed somewhere, and the less of it there is within, the more there has to be without. It is ordained in the eternal nature of things that men of uncontrolled senses cannot be free. Their passions forge their chain." Let's define tonight self-control as the ability to achieve control over our thoughts and emotions in order to achieve a long-term goal. A self-controlled person progresses even when they're not in the mood, even when they don't feel like it. When the senses want to go with the wind of emotions and feelings and run wild like Mustangs, it's the higher self, the spiritual self, whose job it is to gain control, to rein in the wild horses of the senses and direct them to a worthy destination. Anybody heard of the marshmallow experiment? This was reported in Reader's Digest in 1996. The essence of emotional self-regulation is the ability to delay impulse in the service of a goal. The importance of this trait to success was shown in an experiment begun in the 1960s by psychologist Walter Mischel at a preschool on the Stanford University campus. Children were told that they could have a single treat, such as a marshmallow, right now. However, if they would wait while the experimenter ran an errand, then when he came back, they could have two marshmallows. Some preschoolers grabbed the marshmallow immediately, but others were able to wait what for them must have seemed an endless 20 minutes. To sustain themselves in their struggle, they covered their eyes so they wouldn't see the temptation, rested their heads on their arms, talked to themselves, sang, even tried to sleep. These plucky kids got the two marshmallow reward. Now, here's the really interesting part, the follow-up. These children, who as four-year-olds had been able to wait for the two marshmallows, were as adolescents still able to delay gratification in pursuing their goals. They were more socially competent and self-assertive, better able to cope with life's frustrations. In contrast, the kids who grabbed the one marshmallow were, as adolescents, more likely to be stubborn, indecisive, and stressed. It's called the marshmallow experiment. Let me ask you this evening, what's the difference between a human being and an animal? I'll tell you. A human being can control the senses, an animal cannot. We all have a decision in this human form of life to make. Whether we want to be ruled by the senses and live like animals, or whether we want to be disciplined so that we can live a life of excellence. Discipline and self-control are not your enemies. I realize I'm speaking to a room full of mostly teenagers, so I'll just repeat that. Discipline and self-control are not your enemies. In this culture of sense gratification, we tend to view them in a negative light. We think of discipline only in terms of what I can't do, what I can't eat, what I can't spend. But they are also tools that God has given us to help us achieve our goals. As a devotee of Krishna, I can't go to nightclubs, but I can dance here in Kirtan at the temple. I can't eat meat, but I can eat succulent vegetarian fruits and grains and vegetables that have been offered to the Lord in love and devotion. I can't spend money to dress expensively, but I can dress the deity opulently. See, what's happening here is that Krishna is not denying me activity. He's not denying me recreation, not denying me food. He's not denying me clothes. Rather, he's given me the opportunity to experience them on a higher level. When we don't give in to the lower impulses, we're free to go higher. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Song of God, 13th chapter, 8th verse, it says here, the senses are so strong that they're always anxious to have sense gratification. And of all the senses, the most important and uncontrollable is the tongue. Discipline starts with the tongue. Tongue has two businesses, to eat and to talk. If you talk only about Krishna or God, as we're doing this evening, and eat only purified food offered to him, as we'll do after the services when we go downstairs, you are well on the way to being a self-controlled yogi. Most people have no control over their talking or their eating. If you can't control your tongue, then you can't control your life. We need to learn how to tell the tongue, no, no, I will not gossip about somebody. I will not complain. No, I will not eat that fast food. I will take food home and cook it and offer it to the Lord. Discipline means get a grip, take charge, be in control of your senses and not be controlled by your senses. Have a plan and stick to it. Well, Charu, Lord knows. I try and fail and then I go back to the same old self. No. God or Krishna gave you the ability to take charge and do what's right. But you have to exercise it, like a muscle which gets stronger with use. Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 5th chapter, 24th verse. Without being self-controlled, without being disciplined, no one can be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. Now here's a warning. When you try for discipline, the flesh will protest. The flesh will throw a fit. I can't take this. I'm going to die. I'm starving to death. Let me just have one more hot fudge sundae. Watch one more episode of Seinfeld on my lazy boy with my big gulp and my chips. Most people just go with their feelings and they never exercise self-control. The flesh will say, it's too difficult, it's too much trouble, it's too painful. I know I should read the Gita or the Bible daily, but I've no time. It's too hard to get up early. I'm too tired. I know I should be more frugal, but I got to have that new laptop, that new iPhone. I know I shouldn't be hanging around these friends, but it's too painful to break it off. I've known them since junior high school. Let me have my way. Don't let me be inconvenienced. I don't want to pay the price. Any area in which you're not disciplined, that will keep you from God's best for you. I challenge you today to exercise discipline, even if it's going to cause discomfort. How do we achieve self-control? Power and practice. I heard a quote. A man said, I can resist everything except temptation. But if you chant, if you get the Lord of millions and millions of universes who resides within your heart on your side, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then you will have all the power that you need to go where you want to go, to kick that habit, to break that addiction. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, he came to America in 1965, Lower East Side of New York, Haight-Ashbury. At that time, the government of the United States was spending millions of dollars to try to get people to kick the LSD habit, and they were unsuccessful. But within 24 or 48 hours of chanting Hare Krishna, so many tens of thousands of young people gave up LSD, coffee, tea, cigarettes, pot. Prabhupada says here, these European and American boys were not accustomed to such a self-controlled life. But because Krishna consciousness is present in everyone's heart, simply by a little practice, it develops. We practice and we practice and we get to the point where we're more interested in pleasing Krishna or God than we are in pleasing the senses. We shift from self-centeredness to God-centeredness, from self-consciousness to Krishna consciousness. Let's say you start going to the gym, take up systematic program of exercise with the machines. You start discovering muscles you never had before. You get sore for a few days until that muscle gets used to the new exercise. Similarly, it took time for you to get into bad habits, bad ways of thinking. It will also take a little time to get new ones, to replace the bad ones with the new ones, to move forward. The guru is like your spiritual personal trainer. The guru is there to help you develop your spiritual muscles. Just like in the gym, whatever the personal trainer tells you to do, you do it without question. Yes, sir, whatever you say, sir, I'll accept that. In fact, the word discipline comes from the Sanskrit word sishya, which means one who abides by the order of the guru. It means a disciple. One who's voluntarily accepting a great personality whose rules and regulations he must abide by. Who is a guru? A guru is one who has his senses under control in four main areas. A guru is, among other things, one who never indulges in intoxication, doesn't take coffee, tea, or cigarettes, doesn't eat meat or fish or poultry, doesn't gamble, and doesn't engage in illicit sex. Discipline means that we study the saintly person's life, how they live and how they behave, and we follow their ways. This is a picture of Lord Krishna himself 5,300 years ago when he descended onto the planet taking instructions from his own guru, Sandipani Muni. You may ask, why does God need a guru? He doesn't. He himself is the greatest guru, the greatest teacher. So why did he take a guru when he came to earth? He took a guru to teach the principle of association. That when we associate with a person of self-control, a person of excellence, we become excellent like them. Take an iron rod, which is dull and cold, put it in the fire, leave it in the fire, and after a sufficient period of time, that iron rod will become red hot. It itself will act like fire. Why? Because of association. Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 18th chapter, 22nd verse. Self-control is achieved not by artificially stopping the senses from material enjoyment, but by engaging one's senses in the transcendental service of the Lord. The senses cannot be forcibly curved, but they can be given proper engagement. You heard about the snake charmer. His snake was acting up, and the snake charmer thought he would teach him a lesson. So he put the top on the basket. I'll just let him cool his heels. I'll just leave him there for a while. So one day went by. Snake charmer thought he must be getting pretty obedient by now. Second day went by, and the snake charmer's thinking, I got that snake right where I want him. Third day went by, and the snake charmer's thinking, once I raise this lid, he's going to have learned his lesson. He's going to do whatever I want him to do. He raises the lid. Pong! What happened? For 3 days, that snake was just getting more and more ticked off. And the venom is building up in his glands, and there's no means of release. His body temperature is rising. He's getting bitter and resentful, and he's just waiting for that moment when, with the light of day, he bites his owner. And similarly, the way to sense control is not through repression. It'll rebound twice as strong, twice as venomous, twice as poisonously as before. The way to control the senses is to give them a positive engagement. Let them experience a higher taste. Now, there are two kinds of pain. The pain of discipline and the pain of regret. They're also known as the pain of ounces and the pain of tons. We don't want you to get to a point later in life where you feel bad about your past. That's why this evening we're going to try to stir you up and get you on the right course if you're not already there. Our message is the price we pay to be disciplined in our life, in our eating, in our activities, in our recreations, in the books we read, the friends we keep, and the movies we see, that price is minute compared to the price of regret for a life wasted. Even at this young age, you may have made some bad choices. You may even be suffering from an addiction. Don't let the enemy convince you that you can't change. When you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, or any bona fide name of God, you'll discover that you have everything you need to make the desired changes. Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 2nd chapter, 6th verse, quote, "Thus being fixed, one must render service unto the super soul situated in one's own heart by his omnipotency. Because he is the almighty personality of Godhead, eternal and unlimited. He is the ultimate goal of life. And by worshiping him, one can end the cause of the conditioned state of material existence." No matter how long you've had bad habits, the power within you is greater than that addiction. The power within you is greater than that bad attitude. The power within you is greater than that lazy spirit. The power within you is greater than that anger that you carry around. And you will tap into that power simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Free of charge, non-fat, no calories. Now, stop making excuses. You cannot get around the fact that for us as spiritual beings to go higher, the flesh has to go lower. Some of you out there know that this message is right, but you're thinking, not now. Let me put it off. It's not convenient now. You might be making the excuse, well, I'm Italian, and all Italians are hot-headed. Or, I'm a woman, and women are supposed to spend too much money. Or, my whole family overeats. It's in my genes. We're here to encourage you. Don't let any area of undiscipline keep you from going forward. Set goals. Chant 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, half an hour a day on some beads that you can get in the gift store. Lose that weight. Stop gossiping at the office. Watch spiritual videos instead of movies. When you're in the car, listen to sermons and spiritual music instead of sports and talk shows. Keep pressing forward, even when you don't feel like it. Krishna put potential on the inside of each and every one of us, but we have to work with him. Make an effort. Pay the price. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. All the potential in the world won't help without discipline. I heard about a rich man. He was building a mansion and landscaping it. He called a gardener. He said, "You name your price. Tens of thousands of dollars, doesn't matter. I just want you to do one thing for me. Whatever it costs, make me a garden that is maintenance free." And the gardener just started laughing and laughing and laughing. There is no such thing as a garden which doesn't need to be tended. There is no such thing as a garden which is maintenance free. So similarly, the garden of our lives, the seed of love of Godhead, is like a tender creeper. And like any creeper, it needs nourishment. We nourish that creeper through the waters of chanting Krishna's holy names. Like any creeper, we keep the weeds away, the weeds of intoxication, the weeds of illicit sex, the weeds of gambling, the weeds of meat eating. No garden is maintenance free. You have to keep up with it. Why we don't chant intermittently, why we don't chant when the mood hits us, why we don't chant sporadically. Imagine if you only tended your garden when you felt like it. No, you have to tend the garden every day. Chant every day. Follow the principles every day. Avoid the bad and embrace the good consistently every day. Now, when you see someone blessed, fulfilling their destiny, great house, great job, great kids, great salary, don't envy them. Don't think how lucky they are. Don't say to yourself, "I wish I could enjoy those blessings." Krishna doesn't love that person more than he loves you. Remember that person watered when they didn't feel like it. Out in the hot sun, they pulled out the weeds. They made sacrifice. They put in time, effort, and energy. They paid the price, and now they're reaping the benefits. Krishna's not partial to them. He wants the same for you. A rich, rewarding, purposeful life. But you have to do your part. We are the gardeners of our own lives. If you'll exercise self-control, Krishna will do more than you can ask or think. Krishna's got a beautiful garden in store, but we have to tend it and not just do what we feel. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 19th chapter, 40th verse. A wretched and slave person is one who cannot control his senses, whereas one who is in control of his senses knows real freedom. When someone is a slave, he or she is forced to do things they do not wish to do. In this current culture of permissiveness, everything is allowable, but not everything is profitable. In this current culture, you can get away with having a bad temper, get away with addictions, get away with bad habits. But this evening, we're not talking about getting away with things or just getting by. What we're talking about tonight is rising to a level of excellence. We're talking about living a life of victory, about seeing dreams come to pass. Maybe you need to be a little more disciplined in choosing your friends, a little more disciplined in your thought life and less negative, a little more disciplined in how you choose your words, a little more disciplined in your finances, a little more disciplined in how you spend your time. Any areas that we're not disciplined in are areas in which we will not grow. Let me challenge you today, if you're not already, to start exercising self-control. There will be no more convenient time than now. You're being spoken to now. You're here this afternoon for a reason. If you don't get it now, you're not going to get it later. Maybe a little difficult, maybe a little painful at first, but the pain of discipline is nothing compared to the pain of regret. You're the gardener of your own life. Krishna wants to take you to a higher level. Self-discipline is a dividing line between excellence and mediocrity. If you'll be disciplined and take charge in your thoughts, in your words, in your emotions, then Krishna will take you to places that you've never even dreamed of in this life, and in the next life, he'll bring you back home, back to Godhead. Thank you for your kind attention. If you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare
Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama
Rama.
Hare
Hare.
Hare.